We just heard a song called Nickels and Dimes, which is the opening track off of the most recent CD from Fiona Boys. It's called Blues for Hard Times. She's an Australian blues guitarist and singer, although she spends a lot of time in the United States. And in that capacity, we'll be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts next weekend, not this coming, but the following weekend, on the as part of the opening night party for this year's El Nora, the Guitar Festival, which happens every other year. And we are very pleased to welcome her on Live and Local with us today. Thanks for joining us.
I'm delighted. Thank you so much for having me.
Your bio is sort of interesting, at least as it shows up on your website, for beginning by asking a whole bunch of questions. Or almost beginning by asking a bunch of questions. And then they sort of proceed to give an answer, but I'm kind of curious to know your answer just by way of introduction to yourself. And one of those questions is, how did she come to be the first woman and non-American to win the International Blues Challenge in Memphis? Which sort of deals with the first woman and the first non-American thing, and you can kind of answer that however you want.
It was the most fantastic experience because for those of your listeners that might not know, the International Blues Challenge is held every year in Memphis, and it's a competition which has become increasingly big and international, and it's run by the Blues Foundation. And in order to compete at this blues challenge, you must come through an affiliated blues society. And I'm from Melbourne, Australia, and my blues society had been sending people for many, many years. And in fact, the Australians were some of the first non-Americans to be part of the challenge and kind of help make it the International Blues Challenge. And I'd always wanted to go to America. Of course, as a blues musician, everybody wants to go to the home of the blues and like make a pilgrimage there. But being a musician, of course, I was too broke. So finally, I won the local playoff, and my blues society bought me a ticket to Memphis. And in fact, pretty much the first time I played in America ever was on Beale Street. As part of the competition, and incredibly exciting for me because I was so aware of the history of Beale Street as being a very important place for the blues and imagined how many of my blues heroes had played on that street. So an incredible experience, and I just went and played what I did. You know, I do mostly original material, and I wasn't sure if people would kind of get it, and I didn't have any expectations. So I was really thrilled, as it turned out, to win the competition. It was it really felt like a Cinderella moment for me as a blues player from Melbourne, Australia.
And what year was that?
That was 2003. So really I've been coming and going since then, and I spent 2 years living full-time in the States. And I think for me, the most incredible gift and experience has been the opportunity to actually meet some of my heroes and play, and in some cases record and tour with people like Hubert Sumlin and Pinetop Perkins. Bob Margolin, who played in Muddy Waters' band, has been a huge mentor to me in recent years since then. So, you know, of course, I would never have thought, someone who's not from America, that I would have a chance to meet those sort of players. And you know, I was a blues fan for a very long time before I ever was a player. I actually didn't start playing until I was in my late 20s, and I'm self-taught, and you know, but I was a huge blues fan, so there's always part of me that when I meet these people who I've listened to and admired for so many years, you know, there's still a lot of fan in there too, which is great.
How popular are the blues? Is the blues? I don't know if that's a singular or plural term, in Australia, and how popular was it when you got started?
Actually, it was very popular in the live music scene, and still is. You know, Australia is a big country, and we only have a very small population. You know, but I think, despite the fact that blues is not mainstream music anywhere in the world, there's still a strong appreciation for blues, and we have some great festivals, some great players, and there's also, I think, a good bit of blues in even the average Aussie bar band, maybe even AC/DC. You know, you can hear little bits of blues in there, and I think it's very, very much appreciated in Australia, even though, as I said, it's not mainstream music. So I didn't hear it on the radio. It was the sort of thing you had to find out through word of mouth, or then you found community radio stations that had, you know, very well read and knowledgeable blues DJs that were often playing the pick of their own imported blues collection. And so that's really how it started for me, I think.
So that's what you meant by when you made the distinction. It's fairly popular as a live music phenomenon, not so much on the radio. Was that the distinction primarily?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that's true. And there's a lot of grassroots support for blues. Probably rock and country music have a bigger market share or whatever. But, you know, the blues people, I think, like blues people anywhere, once people fall in love with the blues, they become real fans. So the people that do follow blues are a very loyal audience.
Yeah, well, that does seem to be true for many of the less overtly popular forms, including, say, jazz and folk music, I suppose. So why wouldn't that be true for the blues? In that question that I read off your bio, of course, they made a point of saying both first non-American to win this blues challenge and the first woman to win this blues challenge. And so I was curious to know when that was. And so it was only 10 years ago. And I guess when I saw, oh, there's a female blues guitarist coming to Elnora, the festival here, it made me think, well, how many female blues guitarists are there? And not being super well versed in who all plays the blues today, I realized I didn't know the answer to that question. And I really don't know the answer to the question of how many blues female blues guitarists were there when you decided that you wanted to do it. I mean, was it really that big a deal for a woman to be starting to play the blues, 25 years ago or so when you started?
Well, yes, and you know, there's still, I don't know the answer to why, but there's still very few women guitarists in the blues scene. And there's a few of us, but it's pretty much male dominated, and still is. And I certainly had no female role models at all growing up in Melbourne, Australia. And, you know, it's a strange thing when you don't start playing until you're in your late 20s. You know, obviously your male peers have mostly been playing guitar in their garages since they were teenagers or 13 or something. So, you know, I was quite aware that I was sort of a little behind the program. So you have to kind of catch up as best you can. It's funny, I actually wrote a song which is a tribute song to Memphis Minnie, who was a really seminal blues guitarist, particularly in the 40s and early 50s, very influential player, who started off as, you know, playing finger-picking country-style blues and resonator, but she also pioneered the use of electric guitar and blues later in her career when she moved up to Chicago. And many of her songs are covered by male musicians who ended up becoming, you know, way more famous than she ever was. But in her day, she was very well respected and was pretty much the girl guitar player of her generation. And I wrote a tribute song to her, which is called She Could Play That Thing, because sometimes I wonder how much has changed in the intervening time when people, see you playing and go, wow, she plays pretty good for a chick, or... it's an interesting dynamic. I certainly don't know why there isn't more women players, but I never really focused on that too much. I was just such a blues fan, and I was and am still so much in love with the music and the genre that I was just wanting to be a blues guitarist, period, and have a chance to learn more about the music I love and increase my musicianship and get to the next gig.
This is a breakaway question here. Since this tune, since you just mentioned the tune, is this one you could send me easily enough? She Could Play That Thing?
Yes, I could.
Because this would be the place to play it. It would be right now.
Okay. All right.
If you wouldn't mind, that would be great.
Well, when we get done, I'll send it straight away.
Okay, great. And I'll just say that right now. Well, why don't we get give a listen to She Could Play That Thing. This also comes off of Blues for Hard Times, but I understand this has been in your repertoire for a long time.
Yes, it has, actually. And it's one of the few songs that I've re-recorded. I've put out quite a lot of albums, and mostly they're original stuff, and most of the songs that have never been re-recorded. But on Blues for Hard Times, there was just a couple of songs that I'd only ever released in a fairly limited format in Australia. So I was kind of hoping to have a chance to introduce those songs to the American audience and to a wider audience.
She Could Play That Thing, Fiona Boyce. On Live and Local, she'll be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts next week at the opening night party for El Nora, the Guitar Festival. We're talking on Live and Local here on FM 90.9.
I want to tell about many people try and understand. Oh, well, they said that little gal, she played guitar just like a man.
She Could Play That Thing, a tribute to Memphis Minnie by Fiona Boyce from her CD called Blues for Hard Times. Fiona Boyce will open El Nora, the Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts next Thursday. She is, in fact, the first group to be playing at 6:30 as part of their opening night party. You're listening to our conversation with Fiona Boyce on Live and Local here on FM 90.9, where programs are made possible with the support of the Friends of WYLL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. You've mentioned a few times now being a really big blues fan, and understand that you're sort of immersed yourself in some of the historical, musical and historical traditions that make up the blues. What got you interested in the first place?
Well, I was the kid in school that kind of, while all my friends were, falling in love with rock stars and pop stars, I was really just, nothing moved me that much. So it wasn't until I got to college and I met a guy on campus who ran a folk and blues club, and so the first stuff he played for me was very early recordings from the 1920s and 1930s, and as soon as I heard that sort of blues, it was like, this is what's missing from my life. I became a big fan. So the first stuff I was really hearing was a lot of pre-war blues, early ragtime, and country blues stuff.
Now, when you say pre-war, which war are we talking about?
Well, this is sort of 1920s, and it's considered the classic, well, late 1920s is considered the classic era of blues, which, funnily enough, because to go back to when we were talking about how the blues scene is perceived as being a very male-dominated style of music, in the classic era, in fact, all the stars of the blues were women.
Singers,
you know,
primarily.
Mostly singers, and now the vaudeville kind of blues tradition. So, yeah, from sort of early 1930s kind of stuff, which is country blues and ragtime, and I worked my way forward into electric blues sort of later on, but I have friends in the blues scene who are incredible. They're like walking encyclopedias of all the historical detail, and I certainly can't match them on that. But one of the things I have been very interested in, and something that I think is very much evident from my repertoire and my recorded material, is that I'm very interested in the different historical and regional styles of blues. So in my songwriting, you know, I've sort of explored New Orleans blues, which, you know, is often based around rumba rhythms and that kind of thing. And I've been interested in Mississippi blues, either Delta or Mississippi Hills, which has, you know, very distinctive driving kind of riff-based blues, as well as swing and, you know, finger-picking country blues and ragtime. So you get all these different flavours. So it's sort of a bit of a road trip through different styles of the blues, which I find interesting.
You made reference, I was reading some of the notes to this particular recording, which you very kindly provide in your website, which is great. It sounds like they don't actually come with the CD, so you have to find them on the website. But you made reference in one of the songs to an instrument you borrowed from Cindy Cashdollar, who's the artist in residence at the Guitar Festival next week. And it just made me think, as you're talking here about the history of the blues, as to whether you also have made a point of either collecting, borrowing, or using different instruments according to the age of the style or the particular style itself, or do you
well,
have a couple
I
of
know
instruments?
Some musicians, who are very much very particular about, you know, I'm going to play a 1930s song, so it would be great to have a 1930s, you know, Stella guitar to play on. I must admit that I've never been a purist in that respect. And in fact, for many years, I really was just so minimalist. I had like one bass, one acoustic guitar, one electric guitar. And I thought, well, that's it. I've got everything I need. But in recent years, I started realizing different guitars do make you play in different ways. And so so then it was like the thin edge of the wedge. Now I've got about 13 guitars in, you know, different electrics and a baritone, and I've got a beautiful Australian resonator, which I did a lot of stuff on the Blues for Hard Times album on. And, while I'm not purist about matching instruments necessarily, you know, it is wonderful how different instruments inspire you to play differently. As far as the instrument that I borrowed from Cindy Cashdollar, it was her exquisite lap steel, and I'm only a very fledgling lap steel player, and I had joked with myself that I was going to try and get one track at least on the album I was going to play lap steel on, and because I was having to travel from Australia to make the recording session, and I was bringing with me an acoustic guitar, a couple of electrics, and a resonator, I thought, well, I'm not going to bring a lap steel for one song. And so I asked the producer of the session, Kaz Kazanoff, who's a wonderful producer, also a wonderful musician in his own right, is a saxophone player and arranger for the Texas Horns in Austin, Texas, and he's become a good friend of mine. And I said to him, well, look, surely in Austin you must be able to borrow a lap steel off someone. And he came up with this beautiful instrument. And, of course, I've got a, you know, a very bashed-up old Supro lap steel, which, you know, is very forgiving. And I found this beautiful instrument. I had to work hard because you could really hear everything. It played so good, you had to rise to the occasion and really play it. And it was only after I finished the take that I said, well, where did you get this lap steel from anyway? And he said, oh, I borrowed it from Cindy Cash Dollar. And I was like, oh, my God. My goodness, you know?
Maybe it rubbed
so
off.
I'm very, very excited because I only met Cindy very, very briefly. She kindly came by the studio to pick up her instrument. And so I'm very excited to have a chance to see her perform. Hopefully she's going to join me for a couple of songs on Thursday, 5th of September, on the opening night. I hope we can make that happen because it's very exciting to see a woman player of her stature as artist in residence for the festival.
Well, and just reminding listeners that I'm talking with Fiona Boyce, who will be sort of opening the opening night party next Thursday, the 5th. The event itself starts at 6 o'clock, but Fiona Boyce Trio is at 6:30 in Stage 5, they call it. It's basically in the lobby at the center, and then various other people join after that. Talking of instruments a little bit, we're going to hear an instrument really intimately, because the song I want to play next is it's just you playing here, and if this is one of the tunes, one of the very few tunes on this album that is not by you. But I if you don't mind, I'm going to read part of your notes here, because it sort of choked me up, to be honest. You talk about this song, it's by Reverend Gary Davis, called Mean World, you were playing a solo acoustic gig in a biker bar, and this is where I'm going to read. This song is not typical bar music, but I decided to play it for myself that night. Everyone continued with their drinking except for one guy at the bar who sang along. That man is now my husband. That's the part that choked me up a bit. If you don't mind, I'm gonna play this song, Mean World, by Reverend Gary Davis.
I would love
Davis.
You to. Thank you.
It's a Fiona Boyce solo here on Live and Local. Fiona Boyce is playing a Reverend Gary Davis tune called Mean World here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. She'll be at Elnora, the Guitar Festival at the Kranert Center, which opens next Thursday, and she's playing on the opening night party. So I read a bit of your description of that song. What was the instrument you were using there? Is this one that you use quite regularly in your gigs?
Yes, it is. And in fact, I've spent a lot of time in my career playing solo acoustic, and so the instrument that I'm playing there is a Dreadnought guitar from Mayton Guitars, and they're built in my hometown of Melbourne, Australia, and I also play I have a couple of their electric guitars also. I'll certainly be playing one of their electrics at the festival at Elnora. And I'm amazed the guitar actually recorded so well in this session, because unfortunately the way that airlines, and we won't mention any names, but unfortunately when I flew from Australia to Austin for the recording session, and the guitar looked fine when I first got it out of its case, and the next day when I took it into the studio, was only when I started to record these few solo tunes that it was making this weird squeaking noise, and I turned it over, and obviously the guitar had been hit in transit or in the baggage handling, and there was a huge crack that went from underneath the guitar, from the waist of the guitar, almost all the way around to the tail pin. And it was hanging open by a good quarter of an inch. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do, because this was a guitar I had several songs I wanted to record on. And the engineer said, well, just put a strap on it so it doesn't squeak on your knee. And, you know, it's still sounding all right. So let's just keep recording. So we did. So I think that's actually quite a tribute to this guitar, that it was still sounding okay, even though it was essentially hanging open.
Well, it's a tribute to the guitar. It's a tribute to the guitar, but it's a tribute to your ability to teach yourself. You said earlier you're self-taught, and that's some really, really wonderful playing.
Well, yeah. Thank you. And the funny thing is that this is part of the connection back to Maiden Guitars, because, as I said, I started playing late, but I was learning by ear off a stack of borrowed old vinyl blues albums. And I heard on a local radio station they had an open mic night where they would let anybody up to play a song or two, and like a strange form of possession, I went down there to try out and see if I could play a few songs. And at that point, I didn't own a guitar; I borrowed a guitar and went down there. And at the end of the night, they said, "Oh, congratulations! You've won tonight." And I said, what? And it turned out that they were actually having a talent encouragement prize. And over the course of, I don't know, 8 or 10 weeks, they were choosing one person from each open mic. And so they invited me back 2 weeks later to do the finals. And everybody in the finals, they had 10 acts lined up, and you got to play one song and you could win a new Maiden guitar. So I went down there with my borrowed guitar, and I won that first guitar. So I keep saying to the guitar people, you know, this was a talent encouragement prize. So it's all your fault, because you encouraged me. And that was the first guitar that I actually owned.
Wow,
with that Maiden.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Who's going to be in your trio? Who are you bringing with you?
Well, I've got Nick Moss, who I've been friends with for many years through the connections of going particularly to Memphis for the Blues Music Awards. And Nick is a very well-respected guitarist in his own right in the blues scene with his own band. So he's playing bass for me, and Patrick Seals, his drummer.
Well, you mentioned earlier that among the styles you have spent some time with is a New Orleans blues sound, and you've got at least one tune on Blues for Hard Times that at least sounds to me like that's where it's coming from. It's called Guys Be Wise. And anytime you have a tuba in there, I think that's got to have something to do with New Orleans. Tell the story about this song. You picked it up, at least influenced from somewhere else, or maybe this is somebody else's song.
This is actually someone else's song, and this has also got a great story, because I had the opportunity to be at Augusta Heritage Centre for their Blues Week several times, either, you know, mentoring people and teaching fingerstyle acoustic guitar. But one year they asked me if I could write a short course about songwriting in the blues tradition, because I do so much original material, and it was a wonderful challenge. So I wrote a week-long short course in blues songwriting, and one of the guys in the class was a guy called Dan Grove, who's a songwriter from Virginia, and we were exploring the idea, particularly in the classic era of blues in the 1920s, for answer songs. And so there's a famous blues song by Sippy Wallace called Women Be Wise, and which starts off, women be wise, keep your mouth shut, and don't advertise your man. Because the idea is if you tell your girlfriend how good your guy is, then maybe she might steal him away. And that's the story of the song. So Dan Grove had written this answer song, assuming that the women will talk about their menfolk, and he'd called this song Guys Be Wise. And when I was looking to record this album, I just thought it was such a fun song, so cheeky, and very much in the tradition of the classic era of blues in the 1920s, where the women stars sang very, very sassy, double entendre sort of songs. And I thought this would be a wonderful song to do in that style, with piano and tuba and clarinet, and in that classic 1920s sort of style. So I was very, very pleased when I contacted Dan, and he was thrilled that I was going to cover the song. So I think it's really fun.
Well, it is a fun song, and it's been fun to talk to you. Fiona Boyce with her trio will be at the opening night party at El Nora, the Guitar Festival. That's next Thursday, September 5th. She'll be on at 6:30, and then Stefan Remmel is on at 7, the Lee Boys at 7:30, Sam Bush and Del McCoury duo at 8:30, and so forth. And then you can find the full schedule for the festival by going to elnoraguitarfestival.com. That's ELLNORA. And if you want more information on Fiona Boyce, go to fionaboyes.com, spelled FIONABOYES. And I thank you very much for joining us on the show. It's really been a treat to have you on.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I really appreciate your time, and I'm very much looking forward to the festival.
Fiona Boyce, from her CD called Blues for Hard Times. That was one of the few tunes that she didn't write on that particular CD. As she said earlier, she writes, she performs mostly her own songs. That one happened to be by, right. Excuse me, I'm getting my songs mixed up, but it's still true. That one was by songwriter Dan Grove. And an interesting story she had to tell about that one. She's got quite an astonishing range of blues styles on that CD. I have not played any of the more sort of Chicago, electric Chicago style that are on there, simply because of the overall sound of this show. But she'll be mixing it up at El Nora in a week and 2 days when you can see her there. Live. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I thank you for joining us for the show today. We'll hear another song of hers in just a moment. I thought I'd share some of the other events that are going on in our listening area over the next couple of days. Let me mention first, though, that in case you weren't aware of it by now, we now have a WYLL radio app for use on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. It's free, allows you to stream our FM and AM stations, listen to past episodes of your favorite programs on demand, like Live and Local. For more information about how to find the WYLO Radio app in the App Store or Google Play, visit our website at wyll.illinois.edu. So today is Tuesday the 27th. That means that this evening at 5:30, coming up very soon, the Kickapooligans will be performing a mix of music at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood, 5:30 this evening. The Ark of Rutsky group are playing jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 7 o'clock. The Old Country Four will be at Hyde Park in Philo this evening at 6:30. Wednesday seems to be the day for weekly events, at least in Champaign-Urbana. Donnie Heitler has his weekly solo piano, jazz piano gig at the Great Impasta in Urbana, 6 o'clock. J. Jam and Jimmy Bean and friends do their acoustic experience at Bentley's Pub in Champaign, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. David Howie's live jukebox show is at El Toro in Danville, Wednesday night, 6:30. The Gunny Sack Review is at the Yoder Center in Arthur, Wednesday night at 7. The traditional Irish music session is at Dublin O'Neill's in downtown Champaign at 8:30. And Gordy Wilson and Katie Flynn have their weekly gig at Boltini Lounge in downtown Champaign, Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. There's also the weekly Carillon concerts at the Thomas Reese Memorial Carillon in Springfield, 7 o'clock, Tuesday through Thursday. Looking ahead to Thursday, the Delta Saints play the Blues at the Canopy Club in Urbana, 9:30 at night. Greater Tuna is the current production at Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield. That's Thursday through Saturday at 6:30 and then Sunday for brunch. Ms. M and the Jokers are at Bouvant's in Urbana Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. The Glenn Wilson Quintet plays jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana Thursday night at 7. And the Larry Harms Trio plays jazz at Basta O'Neill's in Washington Thursday night at 6 o'clock. On tomorrow's Live and Local, I will be welcoming a woman who was for a long time in the Champaign-Urbana area, best known as the founding director of Amasong, Champaign-Urbana's premier lesbian feminist chorus. She is returning to the University of Illinois as interim director of choral activities at the university this year. Fred Stoltzfus retired at the end of last year as a chair, and so Christina Berger is coming back to fill that role, at least for a year. I'll be talking with her on tomorrow's programs about some of what she envisions for the choral program at the university and also some of what she's been doing in the time since she was here before and since her return. And that time has been very full. So Christina Berger on tomorrow's Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Here's another tune by Fiona Boys. This is called Got My Eye on You.
See it is believe it, I believe I got my eye on you.
So there's a bit of Fiona Boys in Electric Mode. That song actually comes from her previous CD called Blues Woman, the song called Got My Eye on You. And she was joined by Derek O'Brien on guitar, Ronnie James on bass, Jimmy Bott, drums and percussion, Nick Connolly on the B3 organ, Hammond B3 that is, and Kaz Kazanoff on baritone sax and percussion as well. It's Live and Local. Our program is made possible with support from Krannert Art Museum, presenting a public opening reception for 5 fall exhibitions on Thursday, August 29th from 6 to 7 p.m. with opening comments by exhibiting artist Robert Warner at 6 p.m. Galleries will remain open until 9 p.m. Forecast calls tonight for a mostly clear sky, the low temperature 72 degrees. Tomorrow, hot and humid, mostly sunny, the high will be around 95. And Thursday, sunny with a high temperature 92. Don't see a cool off yet until next Monday, when the high will still be up there around 88 degrees. I'm Kevin Kelly. I've enjoyed... I have to say, I always have a little problem with radio announcers who say, I've enjoyed your company. I can imagine your company. I've certainly been glad to share the music with you. I'm just sitting here by myself in the studio booth, but nonetheless, it's nice to know that we have listeners out there. This is 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm going to take you out with a group that has been on the show a couple of times in truncated form, which is to say mostly by its leader, who squeezed his five-octave marimba into our performance studio. His name, Kevin Lucas, and the Kevin Lucas Orchestra, sort of a misnomer, or at least a curious nomer, because he's only got three or four guys in the group. Nonetheless, Kevin Lucas Orchestra, in this case, sort of stripped down for this tune as well. He's on marimba and percussion. Andy Waldron is on guitar, and Justin Wiley's on the bass. It's Kevin's own composition called Amber Rain from their CD Green and Blue, the Kevin Lucas Orchestra on Live and Local.